Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I apologize for the late post. I had to take care of some family business. But this is one of my favorite episodes to do, which is a rant episode. Where I don't have literally anything written down or pre-programmed things I want to say, but I do want to talk about what happened recently, especially with TikTok. I told you they weren't going to ban it. It's a spiritual trap. One, they need to watch you and see what foolishness you come up with so they can monetize it. Then they want to watch you to see what you come up with as far as trends, because so their celebrities can emulate those trends and make money off of them. Also, they want to see what kind of information you're going to be talking about. Now, when they're really ready to get rid of TikTok or shut it down, it would be after or a little bit before an event or a 9/11 type event happens, because they do not want information going back and forth. And I think it's a lot easier to get the information from TikTok than I would say like Facebook or Instagram or even X. I don't know why they just can't control the algorithm to not let the information out. I don't know. I guess, like I said, it's like the Matrix. Like, they have certain rules that they have to go by, and they have to be able to manipulate you with Hegelian dialect so you give up your rights or give up data to them so they can control you. For some reason, I think TikTok is their last entity that they want to take control of so they can not let information out. Because it's very easy to see information or news a different way than you would see it on mainstream media. And that's to their detriment. Every time you go online and look at a news article, there's like four or five ads in the middle of you reading. Like, it's no point to go to mainstream media anymore. It's littered with ads. You're not learning or reading anything. Even the stuff they want you to know, it's hard to kind of read through because they got ads posted everywhere. And also, the reason why they will never cancel TikTok right now is because they don't want you to go anywhere else. Look how fast it came back. Mine stopped working like around midnight, and it was back literally 6 or 7 hours afterwards. That's not real shutdown. You think they work that fast? Donald Trump is not even in office yet, and you think he works so fast they're able to come up with some type of agreement to where they push back the deadline? It was during the weekend. Who's in office? Who's at the White House? Who's in Congress and Senate to change these laws all of a sudden in 24 hours to push back the TikTok ban? It made no sense. But the thing that scared them, and like I said before, not all of their rituals work. Not all of their psyops work. In my opinion, they must have saw people jump into Red Note. And when you abandon one app and go to another, you take your money with you, you take your data with you, you take your foolishness with you, or you take your creative ideas with you. Because demons can't create, they can only manipulate. So they need to watch you. And when you go to another app that they can't really focus on right now, they're like, no, we gotta speed this back up. Because people were jumping, and people were jumping to Red Note. I don't know if they knew this or done this on purpose, but look how fast TikTok came back. On a Sunday when no one's in office. Made no sense. But as soon as people start talking about going to Lemon 8 and Red Note, it was all she wrote. They was like, nah, we got to come back. We're going to lose them. Because they can't keep you detached from that system too long. Unless it's for their benefit. It was almost like COVID. I think they would have rather run COVID for 4 or 5 years just to get people to give up more land or give up more small mom and pop businesses. But in the midst of that COVID era, people were detaching themselves and actually learning and coming out of this system. When they found out what that Pizzagate conspiracy did, people now found rabbit holes of their own and were going down in them. So they wanted you to accept their story or their conspiracy of WikiLeaks releasing this information. They didn't want you to go any further than WikiLeaks. They didn't want you to go any further than Pizza Hut or Pizza, Best of Pizza or Comet Pizza or Ping Pong Pizza. They didn't want you to go no further than that. When you went further, that is when they're like, all right, now we got to get these people back to work. We got to keep them busy because we can't have them detached from our system too long. We're not going to be able to keep brainwashing them. Eventually, you'll be able to naturally come out of this system because they can't force feed you or can't shove it down your throat enough. Eventually, you'll be like, why am I choking? Why am I keep choking on these lies? Something is not right. Why do they keep forcing the same lie down my throat and not allowing me to breathe first? See, before in the 70s and 80s and 90s, they could feed us lies because they weren't in no rush for us to believe them or not. That's why when you saw the 9/11 programming, it was like 10 to 15 years of 9/11 symbolism. All through different variated forms of media. Now, since time is short and Satan's time is even shorter, and they want to get you to the Tower of Babel, they want to get you to the Antichrist and the New World Order, they're shoving it down your throat to the point where you're like, I know this is not right. And they're making too many mistakes out in front to the point where now they're not even hiding anything anymore. Whatever you look at or whatever your thing is, if it's sports or if it's politics or if it's Hollywood, you're starting to see it because they overdoing it. And I don't think they know they're overdoing it because time has been shortened. I don't know. They can't really speed up anything to make sure once this ritual is over that you have enough space between rituals to be like, okay, you accepted the lie and you move on to the next lie. I don't think it's like that anymore. I think once you see that one lie and you're like, and they coming up with another lie, but that one lie is kind of you seeing it add up. You're like, whoa, this ain't right. And now here they come with something else. I'm like, no, this ain't right. It's like that with the California fires. When one place started burning, then another place started burning. Then all around the country, places start burning. That's when it was like, okay, we got to take a step back and actually look at what's going on right now. And that's how people are starting to wake up. It's going to be a point where they either come through with a blackout, an economic crisis, or another disease that will just shut everything down. But now I think they're afraid to shut stuff down because now you're detached. You're not going to sit and just watch TV, or you're not going to sit there and just digest lies. You're going to be finding different areas of free information that's going to help you pretty much beat this system because it can be beat. It can be finessed. Now, I mentioned on Instagram about MLK and how the inauguration and the college football national championship is on the same day. That is not by mistake. And I made a post on my Instagram to LarryJohnson7 talking about how Alberta King, Martin Luther King's mother, was shot in the church that he preached at, Ebenezer Baptist Church. And she was shot by a gentleman who was a 23-year-old student at Ohio State. And they said he is believed to be a follower of the Black Hebrew Israelite theology. So they were working this ritual in PSYOP way back then to try to demonize the truth because they did not want us to leave Christianity. When you took out Martin Luther King, you had nowhere else to go. Most people went from Christianity, must have went right to Islam when they found that the civil rights movement failed. So the generation after that, we're like, all right, we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go to where it's more militant. And at that time, the Nation of Islam was militant. After that crashed, then people say, we need to stop trying to follow the doctrines of religion. Let's just start the Black Panther Party. So then you got a rise of a bunch of, I don't know what you call it, guerrilla style, civil rights activists, and that failed. And before it got infiltrated and taken over and it took out the leader. But without bringing up the curses and why things happen, this is what's the state, or this is why the Negroes in the state that it's in now is because they're joined, yoked to the stronghold of Christianity because of our parents and our grandparents during the civil rights era. So they did this whole college football national championship between Notre Dame and Ohio State with MLK being the undertone of it. I looked up if Martin Luther King was ever in South Bend. And I found that he was. He did a speech October 18th, 1963 at Notre Dame. And all I had to do was look at the math and go from the date of that speech to the date of this year's college football championship. And it's 61 years, 3 months, and 3 days. If I did the anniversary, which is October 18th, 2024, that just passed, it would be 3 months and 3 days, another 33. And I've been following 33 with Notre Dame for a while. Like when the cathedral reopened, and I forget the day they reopened, but it was like 3 weeks and 3 days from something like that, from the when they beat a team. And it was like another 3 months and 3 weeks. It was like a 3 months and 3 day thing again from the date it opened to them being in a national champ. I mean, being in the college football national championship. So I don't know. Maybe Notre Dame's gonna, this is their year to go that they're gonna win, because they wouldn't be doing all this and pumping up the guy who's half Korean and half black. They wouldn't be pumping him up and putting him on the pedestal for him to go out there and lose. But the undertone of all that is MLK. That's why they did the game on his day or whatever. And then, of course, you got the inauguration, and it's just a bunch of foolishness. I don't know how, matter of fact, I don't know how white folk can sit there and just listen to that man. He really doesn't say nothing. Nothing intelligible. He just, it talks like a matter of fact. Oh, we got the best Navy I've ever seen, that you ever, you don't have to worry about anything because we will take care of it. We'll take care of everything because we got the best Navy, the best people, hands down. Like, it's not even no detailed information. It's just a bunch of matter of fact stuff. But it's funny that I was watching it and I saw the Girls Gone Bible on there praying. And remember, I talked about them on the show a couple of episodes ago about how they were just on about this. They had their hearts in the right place, but because they're yoked to Christianity, they don't know what's going on. So they were at Trump's little speech or pre-inauguration event, and oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for Trump, and thank you for this country. God bless, blah, 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 blah. And I just sit there and laugh because I know the Most High ain't hearing none of it. I wanted the angels, they sit there and laugh at it. I really do. I really wish that one day that we see the angels, we can actually go back and talk to them, like, hey, did you see or pay attention to what they were talking about and what they were praying to? Like, what do you guys think of when these people make these events put on by Freemasons and people believe that they're actually in communication with the Most High God? Do you guys sit there and laugh, or you're like really pissed off that they even think that this is actually communicating to him? Like, I really want to know that. I wish there was like somewhere in scripture you could find like people who are searching the kingdom are going to actually get to have these conversations where you could fill in the blanks and fill in the holes of certain things you think about that you can't really be answered with a Bible verse, that you really need to ask them one-on-one, especially the Most High. I want to ask these questions one-on-one. I hope it will be this way, like be able to actually commune and talk and say, hey, what did you think about this? Like, were you upset that they used your name this way? Like, how do you feel about this? Like, I would want to know that. But this is going to be a time where you're going to see a lot of numeric racism, a lot of numerology with the numbers 42 and 59. Because the 42 equals the N-word, I talk about that a lot. And 59 equals Negro, cotton picker, jigaboo, and so forth. And it was just funny watching Snoop in 2017 talk about how anybody who performs for Trump at the inauguration is a jigaboo, Uncle Tom, so forth and so on. And come to find out, his ass up there DJing yacht rock to a predominantly white crowd before the inauguration. And Rick Ross did the same thing. Rick Ross said, no, I'm just in Washington, D.C. I'm just sitting here in Washington, D.C. I'm not campaigning. I'm not performing. And then lo and behold, somebody found a video of him singing that his number one song when he first came out. I think I'm a Hustler or something like that. And you know both of these men are Prince or Freemasons. So it's just funny how gangsters all of a sudden, or gangster rappers all of a sudden tried to hold on to their tough guy image when they in fact are the ones who are the house Negroes Malcolm X was talking about. Tap dancing and soft shoeing for their platform. And I said this before by Rick Ross. There's no way in the world this guy hasn't put out an album in what, a couple of years. How does he make money? There's no way in the world he lives in that castle just by Wingstop. I mean, they don't let you own everything. I'm pretty sure he had a percentage, a small percentage of the places that he opened. I mean, look at Jay-Z and the Nets. He wasn't like a majority owner. He was very, very a small, minor owner. He had like, what, 7% of the Nets? That's nothing. That's not even not enough to even call the shots at a meeting. But it's an image that they put in front of our face to make it seem like we can always be in their spaces and we can be uplifted and exalted if we just work hard and pull up our boots and lace up our shoes and be the company man. And then find out that you got to be a Prince Hall Mason to even be in those type of meetings, in those type of rooms or environments. So it's not really anything special that's going on other than that. I just think people need to start getting ready. I think the Most High is starting to slowly close the door on people waking up. Like everybody's had their due season. Like in order for like it to all make sense, like it has to be like a point where you stop nourishing some plants. If he's liking us to seeds, you should know that sooner or later that season ends. Like the time that you are supposed to wake up and the time you're supposed to come back to him, eventually the seasons move on. The seasons don't come back and or work in reverse or delay themselves because of you. That's like saying like in spring, I expect once I put the crop down and in summertime, I'm expecting the fruit to blossom. And then when it doesn't blossom, it goes right into what? It goes into fall, then it goes into winter, then it's not going to come up. The climate is going to choke that plant. It's going to choke that seed. The winter ain't going to be like, hold up, he still need time. He still need a little bit more warmth. He needs a little bit more time to, and a little bit more water to actually, to grow a little bit more. The Most High is not doing that with us. That's why I preach urgency. I thought I was like a fire and brimstone if I ever was a preacher or a minister, but it more or less it's urgency. It's pushing urgency. And mind you, you can't really speed up or slow down what the Most High wants to do because he will do all of his pleasure. But as far as you individually, it should be like a day. There shouldn't be a day that goes by where you don't attempt to be better. Attempt to continue to water and nourish yourself and use the sunlight, which is the word, to grow. It's too many distractions. Plus, the distraction is not even distracting anymore. But because people have some weird dopamine issue, they keep going for that next hit. And they don't understand that the more and more they do it, it's not going to be like it was before. It's not going to give you that same thrill. Like your wickedness is not going to hit the same as it did when you were in sin. It's hard for you to go backwards. You might as well keep going forwards and put your foot to the pedal all the way down to the floor and speed up through it. It's going to be tough to go back. Even if you're dragging or lagging a little bit and you're dragging those burdens along, it's just slowing you down. It ain't doing nothing for you. It's causing you to miss your due season. That's what it's doing. The more burdens you hold on to your old life and to your old ways and to your old self, you're going to miss your season. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the ruach of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the Torah of Mashiach. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you are laboring in your burdens, you are going to reap more burdens. It is not trigonometry. It's very easy to grasp, but most people don't grasp it because they do not grasp the entirety of themselves. That's a lot of soul searching. That's a lot of coming to the mirror and meeting yourself constantly. I'm not saying once a month or twice a week. I'm talking about every day you look in the mirror, considering yourself. Before you consider others, considering yourself and what you need to do to grow and make yourself better. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Ruach shall of the Ruach reap life everlasting. When you get so far into your blessings, or you get so far into this walk where you have no mishaps, or you don't fall, you don't sin, it's a scary feeling. I wonder if any of you actually feel this way. Like when you get on a good run, I'm not talking about a basketball run where, you know, you go up 10 points and you keep it going. I'm talking about days, weeks, months of a good run to the point where you're so scared of making a mistake. And it's not just because of the fear of the Most High. It's a fear of yourself. Because you used to operate in a spirit of self-sabotaging. Where, damn, it's going too good. I know something's going to come and mess it up. And I said this before in the last episode, when you start having doubts about your righteousness, when you have doubts about where you are on this walk, when you're perfect and upright, those demons and those entities watch you second guess yourself, and then watch you over time, you place burdens of self-sabotaging over your life and watch you weigh yourself down because of doubt. Because you have not faced who you are as a person. You have not faced who you are in the Ruach. And you have not left your old self yet. These things work against you and create burdens. Burdens that wouldn't even be there if you were in this world so long, self-sabotaging yourself. So sometimes I think when I'm on a good run, I'm so scared of myself because I feel the blessings coming. I know the blessings are coming. And I think because I know it and I feel it, they must know my reaction to it. They know that I'm going to go or be somewhere that I could fall to temptation. I can easily be snared back in. Because when it's getting good, you kind of forget that you got enemies. You kind of forget that these demons watch you. You kind of forget that Satan is prowling like a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. And he loves nothing more to try to be a stumbling block of offense to somebody who's on the walk for so long doing it the right way. But let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, if we go back to the Testament of Solomon, it is said that these demons can hear the conversations of the heavenly beings, and they observe the powers of these angels. So they must hear these angels talk about the blessings that are coming to you, or what they need to do or to keep you on the right track, or even the Ruach wisdom, the Ruach binyah, the Ruach understanding, moves that it needs to move certain places or show up at a certain time in order for you to be successful in due season. These demons must know that. So when they know what these angels are saying and they know exactly where you are on this walk, their job is to make your burdens heavy. And the only way they can make your burdens heavy is if you allow them. If you give them way, if there's a chink in your armor, they'll just keep making them heavier and heavier. So you'll miss your season of reaping. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a sefer I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the sake of Mashiach. And we all have to try to have that same fortitude of Yahusha, that strong will that did not break, that vulnerability, but when it came to the time of doing the work, he was steadfast. And like I said, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to have setbacks. It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to be weary. But do it in a way that you're in a prayer closet, locked away, covered, a hedge about you, rather than doing it online, rather than doing it amongst people who are not in this walk, or not in the same household of faith. Never do it in, like, never be a show of it, is what I'm saying. When you do that, you invite more spirits to antagonize, oppress, and possess. You give them leeway. I think people truly forget that they could be reading and watching over you. Like, these demons have been around for centuries. Centuries just roaming. You think they don't know what you text? You think they don't look over your shoulder? You think they don't know exactly where you're going? You don't think they know your patterns? You don't think they know your bloodline? Sometimes we forget that we're not the main character in this show. We forget that. We are not the main characters. Like it said in Galatians, for if a man thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So if you're humbled and you have given up your own way and you know you're not the main character, but a lonely servant of Mashiach, a servant of Yahuwah, then you could be protected and fortified because your moves aren't in a move of self-sabotaging or self-victimization or idolatry or arrogance or egoism. We hold ourselves back. When we could be pressing forward each time, we hold ourselves back. We create unnecessary burdens. Especially when it comes to feast days, new moons, Shabbats. I still haven't seen many posts of people talking about new moons. And on the honey time, I don't care how many times I say it, but every time I bring it up, it's like people fight against it. This walk is not supposed to be really comfortable for you, especially in this system. It was comfortable for them back then because that's all they knew. They grew up with the calendar. They grew up with new moons. They grew up with offerings and sacrifices. They grew up with it. We're so implanted in this world, we completely forget who we truly are and what our purpose is on this earth. Some people don't have purpose. I think that's a sad revelation. The people who want to be in this walk is not knowing what their purpose is. The Most High called all of us to have specific gifts, to do as what we can with the gifts that we're given. Some people don't feel like they have gifts. I don't see how that's possible if you have the Ruach HaKodesh. You may not be on the scale of reaching hundreds or thousands of people, but starting off with one is good enough. If I could go back to the parable of the Adonai or the master giving his servants some money and tell him, all right, double my money by the time I come back. And the people who have 2 pence or 2 cents, they don't try to double it, which is very easy to double too. But so scared of themselves, so scared of using their gifts, they go bury their gifts into the ground. Like the servant buried his money into the ground and waited for his Adonai to come back and say, well, I didn't lose it and I didn't gain anything from it. But here you go. This is what I've done, which is nothing. And a lot of people feel, a lot of people think and feel this way. They must, because their work is not works. They go hide their gifts. They sit in the shadows. They creep around in the comment section, not doing much, not unlocking their true purpose or unlocking the gifts. And some of these gifts could be so valuable. I'm talking about gifts like healing, laying hands on somebody. Gifts you're just letting melt away because you're scared, because you're self-sabotaging yourself and think, well, I can't be like this person who's outgoing and doing the work this way. I don't think I could ever reach that type of platform. I can't reach this pedestal. So I might as well let them do it because they're doing it better than I'm doing it. I wish people didn't think this way. Everybody has the ability to have a gift and to do something for the kingdom. If you are not doing anything for the kingdom, what is the point of you being in the kingdom? What do you think they do up in heaven? You think they're just sitting around on lawn chairs, drinking Mai Tais, just watching us? You think they're just breaking down manna? Up there, they're serving every single day, every second of the day, every minute of the day, every hour of the day, every month of the day. They are serving. What do you think you're going to be doing? If you can't do it here on earth, what makes you think you're going to be able to do it in heaven? You think all of a sudden you get up there, all this glittering and amazing gold and flashing lights and beautiful surroundings and be like, you know, I'm just going to chill. You think that's why he's doing it? You think this whole game, this whole thing between him and Satan, you think this is all for us to get to a place to go do nothing? This is almost like auditioning. And I know somebody's out there is going to hear me say, oh, he's starting to promote some work doctrine. I'm not saying you got to work to get in heaven, but in heaven, you want to do work. Serving is work. If you can't do it here, what makes you think you could do it there? I think people too into this, I'm gonna get embarrassed if I mess up. And that's, like I said before, I can't stand those cowards who lock up their social media pages and go say all this ridiculous stuff they want to say because they know they're not going to get reproved from the outside of the algorithm that they boxed themselves into. They don't have to change. Whoever's there with them can hear all their foolishness. They don't never get reproved or corrected or whatever. But people are scared to be embarrassed, scared to be wrong outright. When the Most High has given us examples of men, and not just the prophets or apostles or disciples, He has given us a lot of examples of men being upright and righteous and being wrong publicly. So they can show humility. David being one of them. I don't get this generation of so scared to be wrong publicly. So scared to get it wrong in front of others. We, as a community, regardless if you're Gentile or Israelite, we are supposed to help remove burdens from people. As I talked about in Galatians 6. So it should be free will to be wrong, especially when you're searching for the Most High. None of us is going to get it right off jump or off rip. No one's going to get it right. There's not one person that came out into this walk and said, you know what? I was perfect this whole way. I got it right. I got the Shabbats right. I got the feast days right. I got the new moon right. I got the calendar right. No one has came out and said, I got it right the first time. No one said that. Everybody has proven that they're struggling with it. Just not saying nothing. Or they say it in different points of their walk. But not enough to be like, somebody to point their finger at them and say, oh, you're doing it all wrong. That's that haughty-minded mess I can't stand. That people watching other people mess up and then pointing their finger and say, oh, you're doing it wrong. You don't got the Ruach HaKodesh. As if the person that's pointing the finger at them is doing it right the whole time. I really wish we would come out of that and start helping others mature in the Ruach. Because when you attack other people who are wrong, I'm not talking about people who, are blatantly wrong and know they're blatantly wrong and have not humbled themselves. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who are searching, seeking, finding, reproving themselves, putting the information out. And if they mess up, it'd be like, hey, do this. And the other person like, oh, okay. But when people go, don't do it this way. You're messing up. You're a harlot. And going at them, other people see that. And when other people see that, that means them not want to come out and talk or use their gifts or their abilities because they're so scared of somebody jumping on them. And sometimes I'm guilty of it too, I know. Sometimes I'm guilty of it. But I give brothers a chance. I don't try to come off hateful until, they start trying to be subliminal or they just outright post about me, then I become like an attack dog and they'll get exactly what they're looking for. But not when people who are actually trying to work and do things better. And you also, when you get to a point where you know what's going on, you know what's right, that you also reach out to other people who are also in the same boat as you and they may slip up or may post something that's not right. It's still on you to be like, hey, this is what I found. This is how it could be corrected. Let me know what you think about this. Isn't iron supposed to sharpen iron? It didn't say iron supposed to sharpen wood. It didn't say iron supposed to sharpen limestone. It didn't say iron supposed to sharpen sand. It says iron sharpens iron. We must build up the fortitude to help each other, to remove each other's burdens. If not amongst ourselves and our community, at least in your own household. I know that's difficult sometimes to do because emotions get involved. But like I said, go back to the mirror. Go back to the beginning. Go back to what brought you to this walk. Go back to who made you come to this walk. Go back to what you were doing before you got into this walk. Because we all think our ways are better and we forget that our ways weren't always better when we were in this world. That we were trifling. That we debased ourselves. And we thought we were doing it the right way. Sometimes our brains go back to our old selves glory and we shy away from our new selves glory because it comes with correction. It comes with humiliation. It comes with being humble. It comes with, you know, giving up yourself. When you were in the world, you didn't have to give up yourself. If you gave up yourself, it's through your own foolishness and the decisions and choices you made. But you were right back doing it the same way and hoping for it to be a different outcome, which is the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome. But now when we get into this walk with this new mentality, or we're supposed to be new creatures in the body of Yahusha, we try to bring our old mentality into it. It'll never work. The best way we can grow as a community, as a household, as a people, is coming back to who brought us here. And knowing that what we do, what we reap, and what we sow is based on flesh or ruach. The flesh of your old life or the ruach of your new one. Sometimes when I apologize, or most times I apologize, when I feel like it'd be like I'm right. My old mind, my old mentality, it'd be like I'm right regardless. I would validate myself. What's the word I'm trying to find? I can't think of the word right now. But here you go. I would vindicate myself. Based on the situations or the compartmentalizations that I would have in my old life or my previous life to put me on a path where I know I'm right and I don't ever have to apologize for my actions or whatever I say. But when I'm walking in that ruach, even if I'm in the flesh for a little bit, even if I have fault a little bit, the ruach comes and stops me. The conversation could be gone. The argument could be gone. I could be in a different location. But that ruach will find me and say, hey, you should say sorry. You should apologize for what you just did. And I don't apologize for the other person's sake. I apologize because that ruach is connected to Yah. So in order for me to continue to be blessed, in order for him to put me on a path of blessings or a path of reaping, in my due season, I'd be like, you know what? I apologize, or I'm sorry. I didn't do this well. I didn't do this right. Not for that person's sake, but for Yah's sake. If people put their mentality on doing it for Yah and not doing it just because you feel shame or for the other person, you would grow faster. You would reap in your due season. You wouldn't be lacking in dragging burdens, because most of that comes from not feeling shame or not being humbled enough to understand you either you're wrong or you need to be corrected. A lot of that stems from the burdens of your old life. But when you walk anew in this ruach and you think about, all right, I'm doing this because Yah has placed me in a position of power in my household. I need to be a demonstration. I need to show them that the power of Yah works in my household. And only way I could do that is be obedient to the Ruach HaKodesh. The only way I could lead properly is if I show the community, if I show people, if I show my household that I'm being led by something, they will follow. That's the purpose for all of us, especially you men, because I know I have a lot of men listeners on this show. That's perfect for you to understand that. Don't get caught up about the other person, a friend, a loved one, a family member. Don't get caught up with the person. Get caught up about who brought you here and why and how he brought you here. So you do it not to align with the other person. You do it to align with Yah. Because when you are aligned with Yah, you are walking in his purpose. You being an example, you are leading. And you're unknowingly walking perfectly in your due season where you're reaping. You don't necessarily have to go out of the house and sow in the field. Your sowing could be the forgiveness you give. Your sowing could be the compassion you show. Your sowing could be the empathy you're giving. When you're sowing that, you will reap it. Especially when you may make a mistake or when you may fall and you need somebody to build you up. Or keep you in line. Or show you favor. That's what's going on with me. The Most High right now is showing me favor because I'm using the opportunity for the Ruach HaKodesh to correct me and align with Yah. And I don't fight against it. I don't shy away from it. I allow myself to be humbled by it in order for me to lead properly because I know it's for his purpose and it's for the protection of my household. If I went out and just been disobedient and you know what? I'm not going to say sorry. I'm regardless of what I did. I'm not going to say it. And I just let it linger for 2 to 3 days. Guess who's watching me? Guess who's peeping? Ooh. The angels were talking and saying that he should have apologized. The angels were talking. I'm hearing the conversations, but I'm watching him be disobedient. I'm watching him lag on. I'm watching him create burdens. He must want me to jump back in. Then they start the whispering. Then they get in your ear. Then your vices start coming up. Then your old ways start coming up. Then they start to grab your foot. Then your arm. And the more you keep being disobedient, the longer you withdraw, they'll start to itch at your heart. Then your flesh is given over to a reprobate mind because you keep running. Instead of stopping, you just keep running. You make it hard for yourself. And the more you go through these little events of lagging and lacking behind, you are going to miss your due season. And that's tragic to be in this walk, to know what the Ruach HaKodesh could do, and you know what Yah could do, because we read scriptures the way he definitely could do to you. There's a book of Lamentations for a reason. It shouldn't take you days, months, and years to get to a book of Lamentations just to go back to the starting line again. Because there ain't going to be no going back to the starting line. When you miss your season, especially the way time is running, you miss your season, it's over. There is no do-overs. There is no Nintendo reset button. Nobody's going to take you out of this world, blow on the cartridge, and put you back in this world and say start over. I'll see y'all next week.